Ohio is one of the states hit hardest by the opioid crisis, and now a dangerous new mix of opioids being called gray death is causing fatal overdoses there as well as in Alabama and Georgia. It may be what caused a police officer to accidentally overdose just by touching the drug on Friday in East Liverpool, Ohio. He was revived with multiple doses of Narcan. Joining us now is Mike DeWine, the Republican Attorney General of Ohio. Welcome to Here and Now.
Good to be with you. Thank you very much.
Well, first of all, what is in this mixture called gray death, and when did you first start seeing it in Ohio?
Well, we have started to see it in the last several months. It is a combination of heroin, fentanyl, and something called U47700. So, you know, the latter two are synthetic opioids. I want to point out that we're continuing to see different combinations. You know, this epidemic in Ohio started with pain meds. People, unfortunately, progressed from pain meds to the heroin. And then shortly after that, we started seeing fentanyl being mixed in with the heroin. Now we're seeing fentanyl sometimes by itself. We're seeing carfentanil, which is this large animal tranquilizer that, you know, only zoos would have. And we see people taking that as well. So there's all kinds of different combinations. And, of course, what makes all this very dangerous is there's no quality control. You know, people who were taking a certain amount of heroin or a certain amount of pain meds, when this stuff is mixed together, frankly, they have no clue what they're taking.
Do you have any idea where this new stuff is coming from?
No, I really do not. You know, if you go back, the heroin, of course, today is almost exclusively in Ohio coming out of Mexico. The fentanyl, some of it may be produced locally, but we think most of it is being shipped in directly from China.
Do you think there's demand for it, or are people just unaware that they are taking these more potent, more dangerous drugs?
Well, the sad thing is that these drug dealers, are great marketers, and they're always hyping their product. And one of the ways they can hype their product is say that it has such and such in it. And what's really hard to believe, but we continue to see it, is that, you know, people who are taking this stuff, even though they're seeing people die from it, are always after a bigger high, a better high. So while I say they really don't know what they're taking for sure, which is true, and they certainly don't know the quantity that they're taking, what does come together is the addict's desire for a better high and the supplier's desire to make more money.
One of the other things we're hearing about gray death is that it can be absorbed through the skin, so it's dangerous even to handle. Is that something you're seeing?
You know, about 6 or 7 months ago, we put out a notice to all law enforcement in the state of Ohio to stop doing field tests. You know, law enforcement historically does field tests. They get some idea of what it is. Then they take it to our crime lab that we run in the Attorney General's office. So what we warn them about is don't field test it anymore, because the carfentanil can actually cause, a horrible reaction. It can cause death, I'm told, just by touching the skin. Hmm. So we just, we warn law enforcement, please be very, very careful. And I will tell you, in our crime labs that the state runs, that we have, fundamentally changed how we actually handle the drugs that are coming in. We're much, much more cautious than we've ever been in the past.
Ohio is one of the states with the highest rates of drug overdose deaths. It's been increasing every year for the past few years. Why do you think that is?
You know, I wish I knew. There's some things I do know. We think 3/4 of the people who are on heroin started on pain meds. So we see a movement from pain meds. Someone, for example, 45 years old, white male, blue-collar worker, and gets addicted to a pain med after he hurts his back or she hurts her back. And then they can't get the pain meds anymore, or it's more difficult. Then they move over to heroin. The heroin in Ohio is about $10 to get started. And so they move over to that. So I think part of it is coming from the pain meds. The second thing that I would note is we've had a real change in culture. When I was a county prosecuting attorney in the 1970s, heroin was something that you would only find in the inner cities relatively small number of people. It was very sad and terrible for them, but it really did not impact the general population. And one of the reasons was is that even among people who were doing drugs, you know, there was this psychological barrier that stopped them from taking heroin. They looked at heroin as something that they simply would not do, and just simply they wouldn't go that far. Today, that psychological barrier is just gone. It does not exist anymore at all. And so, you know, I think these are a couple things that are causing this. I think the third thing is the Mexican drug cartels have developed a perfect business model. You know, they grow the poppies in Mexico. They process it down there, turn it into heroin. They bring it into Ohio. They control it usually right down to the street level and right at the end sell it off to whoever the local drug dealers are. But they've developed kind of the pizza delivery system. For $10, you know, you can start off on heroin. They'll bring it to you. They'll get it to you within 30 minutes. And what starts, though, as maybe a $10 a day habit may within 6 months or 7 months, when they're taking 100 times the dosage, you know, maybe $1,000 a day habit. So in that sense, they've developed this absolutely perfect business model that, you know, they're just making a ton of money.
Well, let me ask you about the second aspect you mentioned, which is the changing attitudes about heroin. Do you have a sense of why that is? Why people don't feel that it's as dangerous as I guess they used to?
No, I really don't know why people don't feel that, although there's great irony in this. You know, we've made some significant progress in the last few decades in regard to how people view tobacco. And although there are still kids that are starting on it, that number is significantly down. It's really not looked upon as something cool or a neat thing to do. So we've moved the culture the right way in regard to tobacco. At the same time, however, you've seen the culture in regard to heroin go the other way. You know, I'm not a sociologist. I can't tell you why that's happened, but I just see the results every single day in Ohio as we lose more and more people. You know, what we've seen in Ohio is we're losing at least 10, 12 people every single day this year, but it's having, you know, ramifications in so many other areas of Ohio. The epidemic has been here long enough so that we're some of our first babies that were born that were addicted, you know, they're now in first grade and second grade, and we're seeing the impact there. Our children's services and our foster care system is bursting at the seams with kids because one or both of the parents are drug addicts. It's estimated that about half of all the children in Ohio who are in foster care are there primarily because one or both parents are drug addicts.
Do you think doctors in Ohio are over-prescribing opioids? Since, as you say, the problem often starts with people who get opioids to deal with an injury or something like that.
You know, I think we've taken care of the doctors who are nothing more than drug dealers. And there weren't that many, but we've taken the licenses away of over 100 doctors. So we've got rid of the bad people. What we're left with, unfortunately, is a culture. And the culture has not totally changed. You know, you had a couple things coming together about 15 years ago. You had doctors being told, hey, you're not taking care of pain for your patients. And at the same time, you had pharmaceutical companies coming out with new drugs, wonder drugs, that they told the doctors were, quote, not very addictive. The direct result of that was that, you know, the number of pain meds that were prescribed went significantly up every year after that in Ohio. It was only within the last several years that we've started to see, you know, those numbers trend downward. And so we're very, very happy to see that. But I still think we have a little work to do. We still have some doctors who are very good people, but who are writing scripts that are just, you know, for much too many pain meds. We're seeing it sometimes with dentists, although dentists have made some progress. You know, we're still seeing kids 18, 19, 20 years old who are having their wisdom teeth taken out, and the dentist is prescribing 30 or 40 pain meds. And, you know, nothing good can come of that. The kid, you know, takes one or two and takes no more, and that's good, but then most people just keep that in their, you know, up in their medicine cabinet,
right.
And we get diversion as a result of that. So we have a ways to go, but I think we made some significant progress in regard to the culture among our doctors and dentists.
I'm sure you've seen the news that President Trump has talked about zeroing out the budget for the Office of the Drug Czar. What do you think about that, given the opioid crisis?
Well, I don't think that would be a good idea. I think that it's important to have someone who's out there speaking about drugs every single day. And although in past administrations, frankly, the so-called drug czar did not maybe have as much authority as members of the cabinet, and maybe did not have as much authority as I would have liked to see him or her have, I still think having someone who is focused on this every single day, who is out there talking with the media, I think that's a plus, and I think it would be a shame to see that done away with.
Are you running for governor?
No official announcement yet, but I don't think there's any doubt. Anyone who's been around me for the last few years, I'm very interested in the job of governor. I think, frankly, I prepared my whole life for this job, and looking forward to making an announcement about that sometime in the next few months.
That's Ohio's Attorney General Mike DeWine. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good to be with you. Thank you.